This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Olivia Eberts. After a night of heavy snowfall, the ice road from Bethel to Tuluksak has been plowed and is open for use. Napaimute Traditional Council's Mark Leary, who is in charge of maintaining the ice road, said it took his crew all day to clear the track. There's still unmarked open water along the route, but if he says you stick to the plowed area, you can easily avoid it. Leary doesn't expect the road to stay open long, with more wind and snow in the forecast. He also says that the road is rough for now, but it should even out with additional plowing. He advises travelers to carry spare tire kits, shovels, and emergency gear. Up next in vaccine news, nearly 5,000 people in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta have received their first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Nearly a fifth of those people have also received their second dose of the vaccine. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur has more on the Regional Health Corporation's efforts to get as many people vaccinated as possible.
The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation opened eligibility for the vaccine to the general population on Tuesday. Dr. Ellen Hodges is chief of staff for YKHC. She described that first day as busy and heartwarming.
I'm very pleased about that. Every single shot in an arm is potentially one less person who might succumb to this terrible disease.
Since late December, Hodges has flown across the region trying to get as many of these shots in as many arms as possible.
Some people cry when you vaccinate them, you know, because they're just so relieved to start the protection against this virus.
Hodges says the words start this protection because it takes 5 to 6 weeks after receiving your first dose to develop full immunity to the virus if you also receive your second dose. This time frame, combined with the region's high case rate following holiday gatherings, is why the Health Corporation is encouraging all YK Delta communities to remain locked down through the end of February.
We need to maintain the vigilance that we have been maintaining. So universal masking when you're outside your home, keeping your social circle small, frequent hand washing, all those things will still have to be adhered to in all likelihood through the rest of the winter, spring, probably into summer, as we start getting more and more people vaccinated and as our case rates start to go down.
All but three communities in the region have received COVID-19 vaccines: Lyme Village, Red Devil, and Nightmute. Everyone in the region who wants a vaccine is asked to fill out an online form on YKHC's website. In villages, the number of people who fill out the form lets the Health Corporation know how many doses to fly out to each village. Anyone in a village who needs help filling out the form can call their local health clinic or tribal office. Anyone in Bethel who needs help can call YKHC's COVID-19 hotline. Hodges says she personally reviews the list of people who've completed the form every day, and then YKHC staff calls each person to schedule an appointment.
Right now, our focus is getting as many people who want to be vaccinated as humanly possible. The state of Alaska Chief Medical Officer Ann Zink calls that shots in arms, fast and furious. So just getting shots into arms right now is our absolute highest focus.
Because YKHC is focusing on people who come forward to get vaccinated, Hodges says they are not tracking people who are declining vaccination. Even though YKHC has opened vaccines to the general population, the Health Corporation's vaccines are reserved for people who reside in the region and are not available for people who live elsewhere in Alaska. In some good news, while January and February is when respiratory illnesses like influenza and RSV usually peak in the region, the Health Corporation is not seeing an increase of those viral infections this year, likely, Hodges says, because of preventative measures like masking and hunkering down. And Hodges continues to encourage everyone who hasn't already to get their flu vaccine in addition to their COVID-19 vaccine. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
At the end of last year, a 36-year-old former tribal police officer died from COVID-19. He was to be buried in Kangiganak, a burial which his family in Akiachak couldn't attend because of travel restrictions. KYUK's Greg Kim has this story about how people are finding new ways to say goodbye to their loved ones during the pandemic.
David Akvang Ivan grew up in Akiachuk, then moved to Kongiganak, where he worked as a tribal police officer. Last year, he and his family moved to Fairbanks because of his daughter's health issues. On December 20th, David tested positive for COVID-19 and was diagnosed with pneumonia. But even then, his mother, Olinka Ivan, said she wasn't worried since he called her on Christmas Day.
He let me watch his children open presents, and I thought everything was okay. But the next day, he didn't wake up.
An ambulance arrived the day after Christmas to transport David to the hospital in Fairbanks. His kidney began to fail. Then other organs followed. On December 29th, his family made the decision to take him off life support. David Akvang Ivan was 36 years old. His daughter was also hospitalized with COVID-19, but has since recovered. David's body was to be buried in Kongiganak, where his wife and daughter will be moving back to. But his mother in Akiachuk wanted to say goodbye. So she asked Grant Aviation to do a flyby in Akiachuk with David's body before going to Kongiganak. Grant pilot Andy Fox gladly obliged. He wrote on a Facebook post that the weather was hazy that day, and he worried that people in Akiachuk wouldn't be able to see the plane. But as he approached the village, he saw a hole open up in the clouds. Fox wrote that, quote, "made me think David must want to come home." Tears fell from the pilot's eyes as he flew three circuits around the village. David's mother, Olinka, got to be with her son one more time, a few hundred feet below.
I was crying. I was saying, "I love you."
She described David as a caring husband and father, respectful to his parents and elders, and loved by friends and family, many of whom were watching David fly over them.
When he flew over, it was like a sigh of relief. Even though we didn't get to see him, at least we got to wave at him and say our farewells. I'm so thankful for that.
The plane continued to Kongiganak, David's adopted village. In Kong, health aide Marcy Daniel had asked people to remember David, a former police officer, by wearing blue.
The family and friends can't gather for the usual singing and gathering with the grieving family. So that made me want to try and do something.
She also asked people to wear purple for Bertha Black, the first person in Kongiganak who died from COVID-19. Purple was Bertha's favorite color. Then Marcy went around town taking pictures of people dressed in blue and purple and uploaded them to a Facebook group called In Loving Memory of David Peter Akvang Ivan. Hundreds of people in the village and around the region participated. When David's body arrived in Kongiganak, Marcy asked people to feast within their households.
With dessert.
Tribal police officers in Kongiganak, David's former co-workers, were there at the airport to pick up his body. Chief Leanne Miller said David was someone the community could always count on.
He was a good cop. I looked up to him. He was always there and always positive.
The TPOs were the only ones actually present for the burial of David Akvang Ivan. But even though family and friends couldn't be there, they found ways to say goodbye. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
In this week's Mushing News, the Bogus Creek 150 Sled Dog Race is this weekend. To get into the mushing spirit, join KYUK this afternoon at 2 p.m. for a Facebook Live event to hear tales from the trails of yore. Mushers Myron Angstman and Mike Williams Sr. will share stories from past races, and they'll look back on archived KYUK footage. That's at 2 p.m. today on KYUK's Facebook Live. You can also tune into KYUK this weekend for live coverage of the Bogus Creek 150 Sled Dog Race. Start line coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Saturday, with the race beginning and a mass start at noon. Then stay tuned for race updates. 6 minutes past the top of the hour through midnight all day Saturday, picking up again Sunday morning at 5 a.m. That's Bogus Creek 150 Sled Dog Race coverage all weekend long on KYUK 6:40 a.m. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. please send any news tips or comments to news@kyuk.org. Stay tuned for News UkTune coming up next.